The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Cry, Eagles, cry. You lost the Super Bowl. Cry, Eagles, cry. You guys are just assholes. Oh, man, that was hilarious shit right there. I can smell Philly burning from here since last night. Oh, my God, that was hilarious. But before we get in to Super Bowl 57 and the great choke that was the Philadelphia Eagles, I do want to start the show off by saying I am going to be going on vacation this upcoming weekend, so there will not be a show on Friday or Monday, and I will be back on Friday, February 24th, with a brand new show. So, headed to Palm Springs just for a little long weekend. And gonna smoke a lot of weed because I will be in a legal state. So that's what I'll be doing. But anyways, let's get into Super Bowl 57. It was a battle between two good teams. But gotta say, overall, in my personal opinion, I thought it was a pretty boring-ass game. There really wasn't any, like, key moments that are really going to stand out. I just kind of feel like this is going to be a Super Bowl that not a lot of people remember for many reasons, just because nothing really stood out. Congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs. They are the Super Bowl champions. They won 38-35. They were down at one point at halftime by 10 points. So they did. They made a huge comeback. And really put together a really solid second half game. But as usual, I'm going to gripe about this every single fucking year because you're going to continue to shove it in my face every fucking single year. But I cannot stand how fucking long it takes just to get to the actual fucking game. First, we got to sit through all the goddamn pregame bullshit and analyze every fucking butthole out the goddamn ass. Then we have to sit through the boring-ass Black National Anthem. Then we have to sit through the boring-ass America the Beautiful. Then we have to sit through the boring-ass regular National Anthem. Then we have to sit through a goddamn 90-minute long coin toss when all you have to do is just call heads and tails. No, we gotta call some magic motherfucker from some goddamn place to flip the goddamn coin, and we have to do this whole pomp and circumstance, and it's like, finally, can we just kick the fucking ball? Jesus Christ. It was nice, though. What I really liked about the Super Bowl is that usually Super Bowls start off very slow. It doesn't matter who the opponent is, if they've been there, if they haven't been there, if they're the top offense in the league, the top defense in the league. Almost always the first quarter is a snooze fest by both teams because they're just getting their footing. But not last night. Philly and Kansas City, they just came right out the gate. Both scored on their first drives. But the first half, it was crazy because it was really just a tale of two halves from both teams. Kansas City, they just hung in there. They did what they do. Ride Patrick Mahomes the whole way. He had a solid game. And Philly just were absolutely dominating the first half. You know, Jalen Hurts, he comes out firing. He's just throwing in all these crazy passes to A.J. Brown. And they're making great, great passes and scoring a lot of points. The defense, the Eagles' defense was a huge disappointment. We'll get to that, though, in a little bit here. But the whole first half, they just looked really solid. Kansas City really wasn't able to get a lot going. And then going into halftime, it looked like the sprained ankle of Patrick Mahomes was going to be an issue because right before halftime, he got tackled, grabbed by the ankle, and it looked like that was going to be an issue. Going into halftime, he got a little bit of extended play there. Halftime's longer at the Super Bowl because of the Super Bowl halftime show. But I guess all that rest worked out because then Kansas City came right out and they just basically deflated the Eagles. And like I said, they just played their game and they took advantage of the few mistakes that Philadelphia made. On Friday's show, I thought Philadelphia was going to do that. I thought Philadelphia was going to take advantage of maybe the couple of mistakes that Mahomes was going to make, but Mahomes made zero mistakes. As a matter of fact, this Eagles defense was not able to touch Patrick Mahomes at all. They barely got any pass rush on him, and they got zero sacks on him. And it was an outstanding play by the Kansas City offensive line. Patrick Mahomes put together a solid game. The rest of the offense around him, Juju Smith-Schuster, these guys really stepped it up when they were asked to. Travis Kelce, of course, had a solid game. And Philadelphia really just they really just stumbled in the end. Of course, everybody, all the Philadelphia fans right now are upset about this holding call. It was a third down for the Kansas City Chiefs. They're set up in scoring position. They were obviously going to get the 3 points regardless of what happened on this play, but it was a third down. It was an obvious holding call that they called on the defense, and it set the Chiefs up for a first down. They were able to just ultimately run the clock down, kick the field goal, the game-winning field goal, and walk off as Super Bowl champions. But Philadelphia fans are acting like that was the game-changing play, and it's like, no, it actually was not. Number one, it was a legit call. It's not like it was some phantom call. It wasn't made up. It wasn't fake. It was phony. It's actually a call they make on a regular basis. It's just that sometimes, usually in the playoffs and in the Super Bowl, they don't usually call ticky-tack plays. It was a ticky-tack play, but at the same time, he grabbed him. Straight up grabbed him. That is the definition of holding, and that's the call that's made. And even the cornerback who did the holding, he said after the game it was clearly holding. And just sometimes you get the call, sometimes you don't get the call. And that wasn't the game-changing play. As a matter of fact, in my opinion, the game-changing play was from Jalen Hurts, who actually had an amazing game. Other than his one mistake, which ended up being a fumble, which was in the second quarter. He runs out and he's trying to switch the ball. Switch the ball to his hands, and he ends up fumbling the ball, and the Chiefs just pick it up and run it back for a touchdown. So that cost him 7 points right there. Then the second big game changing play was the punt return in the fourth quarter, which you know, the Kansas City Chiefs at this point in the game, they had a 1 point lead. The Eagles have a horrible drive, weren't able to get anything going, have to punt it. And Chiefs set up right in field goal position after this great run back by the Kansas City Chiefs on a punt return. So that was the other thing that basically sealed the deal, because then the Chiefs were able to score a touchdown and go up 8 points at that point in the game. And also, as I pointed out, the Eagles defense played a great disappearing act. Even in the first half, when the Eagles were playing really well, their defense didn't do shit. They got zero pressure on Patrick Mahomes all day. They got zero sacks on him. They weren't able to even come close to getting a turnover. They couldn't take Travis Kelce out of the game. And then they let Juju Smith-Schuster just take over in the second half. It was like they were a completely different defense than they were all season long. And then you got to give it up to the Kansas City defense. They played a phenomenal game because, you know, this year the Eagles were led not only by Jalen Hurts, but by their ground attack. And their ground attack was completely irrelevant yesterday. Neither running back was able to get anything going, and Jalen Hurts wasn't really able to get anything going. He did end up having 70 yards on the ground and 3 rushing touchdowns. But overall, the Kansas City Chiefs defense did what they needed to do, and their offense did what they needed to do, and the better team got the win, and the Kansas City Chiefs walk away as Super Bowl champions. Patrick Mahomes, of course, was a Super Bowl MVP. He passed for 21 for 27, only 182 yards, so it wasn't like this crazy day from Patrick Mahomes. He just made the big plays when it was necessary. He did have 3 touchdowns. Travis Kelce had 81 receiving yards and a touchdown. So they just had a solid day. But honestly, Jalen Hurts probably had the best day. Other than that fumble, he went 27 for 38, 304 yards, and a total of 4 touchdowns, 3 rushing, 1 passing, and then 70 rushing yards on the night. So he really had probably the best game of his career. It's just that that's the way the Super Bowl goes. If you make a couple of mistakes, because even outside of the fumble and that punt return, the Eagles also had a few penalties. Outside of the almighty last call that everybody's all up in arms over, but they had a couple other plays, a couple other penalties throughout the game that cost them on third downs and really set the Chiefs up in scoring position and to keep themselves in the game, and that was all they needed to do. And obviously the better team won. You know, Patrick Mahomes had one of the best seasons of his already young career, but I mean, he won the MVP this year. He won the Super Bowl. He won the Super Bowl MVP. And he just had a phenomenal year. So he just capped it off with the Super Bowl and the Kansas City Chiefs. Now we start talking about, are they the next dynasty? I mean, they're definitely the team to beat every year, kind of like the Patriots used to be when it was Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Now it's kind of like that with the Chiefs. But they are now the Super Bowl champs. And all of us fans who either who did not see our team playing in yesterday's game, we all get to sit back and go, all right, now we can think about next year. And we are all 0-0, so we are all the next Super Bowl champs. But I did also want to talk about the halftime show with Rihanna. I thought she fucking killed it. I thought it was a great lineup of songs. And I just thought it was a good show from her. I was rocking out the whole time. And to me, the most irrelevant part was her being pregnant. Couldn't give two shits and a fuck about that shit. Pregnancy grosses me out, and I fucking hate children. That's why I've never participated in either one of those acts of getting pregnant or having kids, because don't want it. But she killed it, and it was a great halftime show. And like I said, I was pretty bored, though, overall with the game itself, just because I didn't really care for either team. I thought I was going to root for a team at some point, but no, I really was just more laughing at how the Eagles just completely choked, because the Eagles really did hand that one to the Chiefs. The Chiefs won, had a great game. They are absolutely 100% Super Bowl champs, but the Eagles had that in hand, and I don't know what they did at halftime. They must have, instead of focusing on the game, maybe they decided to go watch Rihanna and enjoy her halftime show, but they came out that second half and laid a complete egg, and the Chiefs came right out and did what the Chiefs do. And that is why they are now the Super Bowl champs and will be the defending champions heading into next season. All right, and now let's get into the top 10 NBA power rankings, because now that football season is officially over, it is on to basketball. And hell, even this week is when pitchers and catchers report. And so baseball season is getting underway. So we're getting there. And then we also have college basketball. Unfortunately, though, this is like the worst time of year as a sports fan, because once the Super Bowl's over, we do, of course, have the NBA, and we do, of course, have college basketball. But they're not really competitive games until next month, until March Madness begins next month. And then, of course, once that's over, then we start the NBA playoffs. So this is pretty much no man's land right now for us sports fans. So now that the Super Bowl's over, it's on to basketball, and it's a pretty quiet time for sports. That's why it's a good time for me to take a vacation this weekend, because it's the NBA All-Star break too. So not a lot is going to be going on in sports. But I do have my top 10 NBA power rankings this week, because we did have a fantastic week of basketball. And not a lot of movement. It's still pretty similar to last week. Very Eastern Conference heavy, as it has been the last like 2 months now. But let's get it started with the number one ranked team this week would be the Milwaukee Bucks. Their overall record of 39-17, and right now they are on a 10-game winning streak, which is the longest winning streak in the league right now. This past week they beat the Portland Trail Blazers, the Los Angeles Lakers, and the Los Angeles Clippers. And it's just, as always, all about Giannis Antetokounmpo. But also, you gotta mention Brook Lopez, who's just having a phenomenal year in the paint. He continues to defend well. He continues to get a lot of blocks. And he continues to be a huge factor for this team, who I really think is kind of like the dark horse, even though they just won a championship just a couple years ago. And, you know, Giannis is just a couple years removed from being the two-time MVP. So it's kind of funny that nobody's really talking a lot about this team as a legit championship contender, but that's just because they're up in Milwaukee. But in my personal opinion, I kind of feel like they're the front runners because they have the experience, they have the great coaching staff, they play great on defense, they play great on offense, and then of course you have Giannis. So I just kind of feel like the Bucks right now, to me, are the top championship contender overall, not just in the East, but overall in the league. Then at number two on my top 10 NBA power rankings, I have the Boston Celtics, overall record of 41-16. They are on a four-game winning streak right now, 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Detroit Pistons, the Philadelphia 76ers, the Charlotte Hornets, and the Memphis Grizzlies. So they got two really big wins there against the 76ers and the Grizzlies. They're averaging 118 points per game, so they continue to just score everybody out of the building. And Jason Tatum is averaging 30.5 points per game, so he's just a sharp shooter. And the Celtics, they maintain just their dominance all season long. They've had a couple of lulls there with a couple of losing streaks, but overall, they've been one of the most consistent teams in the league. It's just, I don't know if they're going to be able to keep up with what the Bucks are doing in the middle, because you got Giannis and you got Lopez there. Those two are just dominating the paint, and it's going to be really difficult for anybody to compete with that. But the Celtics are sharp shooters, and they are scoring everybody out of the building right now. Then at number three on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Philadelphia 76ers, overall record of 36-19. They are 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Boston Celtics, but they did beat the New York Knicks and the Brooklyn Nets. And just Joel Embiid, he just continues to have his dominating season. He's leading the league right now in scoring. It's been basically switching back and forth between him and Luka all season as leading scorer. And then you also have James Harden, who ever since he's come back from injury, he's really been a sharp shooter. And they're really knocking down the threes, which is just, it's just crazy, because it's not just Harden who's knocking down the threes. It's like this entire team, including Embiid, are really sharp shooters when it comes to the three-pointers. And the free throws as well. They're great at the line. Then at number four on my top 10 NBA power rankings, I have the Cleveland Cavaliers, overall record of 37-22. They are currently on a six-game winning streak and are 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat Washington, Detroit, New Orleans, and Chicago. They are a very streaky team, but overall, I'd say the Cavaliers have been one of the most consistent teams this season, because they've pretty much, they've just been hanging around. They did make a couple of moves at the trade deadline. We'll see what they're able to do in the second half of the season, because they've been pretty strong and surprising the first half of the season. So we'll see if they're able to maintain that post All-Star break. But they are looking really, really good right now. Then at number five on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Denver Nuggets, overall record of 39-18. They are 6-4 in their last 10 games. As you'll notice, this is my first Western Conference team that's getting mentioned in my top 10 this week. The Nuggets this week, they beat the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Charlotte Hornets, and lost to the Orlando Magic. They are, speaking of scoring, like, they not only do they score a lot, but they're extremely efficient. They're first in field goal percentage with 51%, and then also first in three-point percentage, hitting 39.3% of their three-pointers. So they're really just efficient. Jokic, he's just the triple-double king right now. He's making a play for his third straight MVP. I don't know if a lot of us really take the Denver Nuggets seriously, though, as a championship contender, but really, who knows? The Western Conference, in my opinion, is completely up for grabs. Because something I did forget to mention last week, which is still rings true in my NBA power rankings this week, is that the Memphis Grizzlies completely just careened out of my top 10 last week. Because they're just playing like shit, and they're not back in the top 10 this week because they still are playing like shit. At first, they were the top team in the Western Conference, and then all of a sudden, they have been hit by the injury bug. But they even with Ja, they really have not looked that good at all. So, I mean, while the Nuggets, I don't know if I consider them a legit championship contender. Who knows at this point, because I feel like the West is just up for grabs with anybody, especially now that Kevin Durant was traded to Phoenix as well. Then at number 6 on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Miami Heat, overall record of 32-25. They are currently on a 3-game winning streak and 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Indiana Pacers, the Houston Rockets, and the Orlando Magic. This team is very streaky as well, but they are on some right now. They played a good, solid week. Hero has actually been a hero for Miami. Whenever, Butler's had a couple of games where he's missed some time, Adebayo's really stepped up. But it kind of feels like when Butler is out or not really having a good game, Hero really steps it up, and he's really just become a superstar for the Heat. You know, he turned it on a few years ago back in 2020, his rookie season when in the finals against the Lakers. Actually, that whole playoff run, he really started to make a name for himself, then kind of fell off last year, but he's really stepped it up this year in the Heat, currently on a nice little winning streak right now. Then at number 7 on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Phoenix Suns, overall record of 31-27, 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Brooklyn Nets and the Indiana Pacers and then lost to the Atlanta Hawks. Really, this team, obviously, they've fallen off the face of the earth as well, mostly because of the Devin Booker injury, but he is finally back this past week. So that brings in all their scoring power there, but they also made the huge trade this week for Kevin Durant. He's going to make his debut this week. Like I said, at the time of the trade, who knows if this makes them a championship contender this season. I definitely think it makes them a contender next season, but who knows how well they're going to gel together. But the good thing is that, you know, Durant and Booker, they both tend to get those injuries every once in a while where they miss like a week or two. And so I kind of feel like when one's injured, the other one will take over. So I feel like this is a very good insurance policy for the Suns. Their bench is still pretty weak, which is what I think is their biggest weakness. But as I said, the Western Conference is up for grabs for anybody. So the trade for Durant is a big deal. Definitely takes some pressure off of Booker. And I think it just gives them another weapon. When Booker might have a bad night, well, there's Kevin Durant, who can step right up in his place. And then if Durant's having a bad night, well, then Booker could step right up. So honestly, that's really a big reason why the Suns keep climbing back up into my power rankings is not only because they're back on the winning side of things, but the Kevin Durant trade, I think, really makes them a legit contender out West, especially with how weak the Western Conference is right now. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Los Angeles Clippers, overall record of 31-28. They are 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Brooklyn Nets, but lost to the Dallas Mavericks and the Milwaukee Bucks. So they're on a little bit of a losing streak right now. The Clippers are very streaky. They seem to be on the healthy side of things at this current point in time, but you know that could always change with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. There are rumors that Russell Westbrook is going to be released by Utah and that the Clippers might pick him up, but I've seen up close and personal what Russell Westbrook can do, and it's not a whole lot. So I don't think it's going to make them a championship contender if that were to happen. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Dallas Mavericks, overall record of 31-27. They are 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Utah Jazz, the Los Angeles Clippers, and the Sacramento Kings, and then also lost to the Kings. And Kyrie Irving right now is fitting right in. He's got his diapers on, so he hasn't shit his diapers just yet and thrown his little temper tantrum in Dallas. I kind of have a feeling he's going to save the temper tantrum for the off season and probably play pretty well the second half here for the Mavericks. And as I've said already multiple times in this top 10, the Western Conference is really up for grabs. So I kind of feel like the addition of Kyrie is definitely going to help them make the playoffs. I don't know what kind of an impact it's going to make during the playoffs, though, but we'll see. But right now, they're looking pretty solid, and Kyrie is fitting right in. And Luka's just coming back from injury, so they should be an offensive force after the All-Star break. And then rounding out my top 10 this week are the New York Knicks, overall record of 31-27. They are 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Orlando Magic and the Utah Jazz and lost to the Philadelphia 76ers. This team is very, very scrappy, and it's all about this Jalen Brunson guy. I mean, he's just he just does everything. He could score points. He's very scrappy in the paint. Like, this guy's not big, but he's got no issues with jumping in the paint, throwing elbows, making a play for that rebound offensively and defensively. He's just a scrappy player and making a huge difference for this team. And then, of course, Julius Randle, he's just really being the dominating force for the Knicks, and they're actually having a pretty solid season so far. And speaking of solid seasons, but not in a good way, the San Antonio Spurs have taken like a giant solid shit this season. They are currently on a 12-game losing streak. I mean, this team is pathetic as hell. And I mean, the Spurs used to be like one of the top teams in the league. And I mean, they've been irrelevant since Tim Duncan retired. Hell, even his last season wasn't that great, but I mean, they've just been absolutely atrocious since Tim Duncan retired. And this season has been, I thought they were really bad last year, but this season they are just unwatchable. And that says a lot because, you know, I live in Austin, so I get all the Spurs games, and I do watch a lot, or at least I used to watch a lot of Spurs games, but these last couple of years, I really haven't turned on the Spurs games unless they're playing the Lakers, and even then, it's not really worth it because both of them fucking suck, because you know where the Lakers are? You know, the Spurs, even though they're on a 12-game losing streak, the Rockets are actually worse than them. So the Rockets are in last place in the Western Conference. And then right above them are the San Antonio Spurs. And then right above them are the Los Angeles Lakers. So all these people who think the Lakers are going to magically back into the playoffs, A, if they happen to do that, which I don't think they will, whoop-de-fucking-do, because the Lakers will probably be a one-and-done team. And I mean that even in the play-in. Doesn't matter who that shit team plays. They just suck. I don't know why people keep acting like the Lakers are going to do something this postseason. They ain't. And it don't matter how shitty the Western Conference is, they ain't going to do shit. So that is the top 10 NBA power rankings for this week. As I said, we are heading into the All-Star break this weekend. So we'll see what happens the second half of the season. You know, usually post All-Star break, that's a big time for the second half push. Usually some random team comes out of nowhere and makes a big push. I would expect that to be some in the Western Conference this year, as opposed to the East, because I feel kind of like the East is mostly set, whereas the West, it's so up in the air. I just kind of see like some random team really just kind of making a run for it the second half and just sneaking right into the playoffs. And no, I don't think it's going to be the Lakers. And I definitely don't think it's going to be the Spurs either. Don't look like the Spurs want that shit. I feel like the Spurs are kind of tanking this season and really looking forward to that first pick next year. And then moving on to the college basketball AP top 10 for this week, we do have a few shakeups in the top 10. Purdue lost this week. Actually, they've lost the last couple of weeks, so they now have fallen out of the top spot, and we have a new number one. Not only just a new number one this week, but a new number one this season. They've never been number one, and it's kind of shocking that they're number one, and that is Alabama. Usually, we're used to seeing them number one in football, but no, they've switched it up and moved on over to basketball, and now they're going to kick everybody's ass in basketball, I guess. They are 22-3, and they are now the new number one. They are just really dominating their division, and they look like they're going to be a force if they keep this up. Then at number two this week, Houston at they're 23-2, and then as I said, Purdue they've suffered a couple of losses, so they've dropped down to number three. They're 23-3. Their big loss this past week was against Northwestern. Then moving up three spots this week to number four, the UCLA Bruins. They are 21-4, and they are looking like a really solid team as well. Then moving up four spots this week to number five, Kansas. They are 20-5 on the season. Then at number six this week, Texas Longhorns, Hook 'em Horns, motherfucker. They are 20-5 on the season, looking really damn good. I don't know if they're a championship-level team, but I feel like they're going to make some noise come March Madness because they are – the thing about that Longhorns basketball team this year, which is very surprising to me, is they are such a good second-half team. They have gone into halftime multiple times this season down, and they come right back in the second half and make a nice run for it. So I kind of feel like people better watch out for the Longhorns. Not saying they're going to win a championship, but I feel like they're going to make some noise come March Madness time. Then at number seven this week, Virginia is 19-4. Then Arizona dropping quite a bit this week at number eight. They are 22-4. They suffered a big loss to Stanford this weekend. Then moving up five spots this week to number nine, Baylor. They're 19-6. And then dropping huge is also Tennessee. They've dropped down to number 10. They're 19-6 because they suffered a big loss to Mizzou this week. And then also in some random, stupid college basketball news, New Mexico State has suspended their entire men's basketball season for the rest of the season due to hazing. And this has actually been a growing, I mean, it's always been around, but it's been very, it's become more and more violent as the years have gone on. I mean, as I said, hazing has always gone on. Now, in my life, I never participated in sports, and I'm honestly not a person you can haze. I'm a total fucking cunt, and I will slit your goddamn throat if you want to fuck with me, and I ain't even kidding. I don't care how big you are. I don't care who you think you is. You ain't fucking with me. But that's just another story, and that's just me. But in sports, hazing has it's just only gotten worse and worse over the years. And this situation that happened with New Mexico State, unfortunately, is something that we've been hearing about a lot. So basically, they haven't released any names, but basically three guys were hazing one guy, and they were doing that really disgustingly gay shit, which I just find so amusing because it's usually these dudes in the locker room who are super homophobic, and they're always like, I hate you gay dudes and blah, 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 and they're always talking about acting like they're the most macho guy in the room, but yet when they're hazing, they're doing the gayest shit. I mean, for real. And so, and in this case, they were like pulling down his pants and like slapping his ass and playing with his balls and stuff and doing very embarrassing shit. But whenever I read that shit, I'm like, A, what is wrong with you? And B, you better not be claiming to be straight because this sounds pretty fucking gay to me. And so this has, there's an investigation going on right now with New Mexico State in this situation, and they've just decided to completely cut the whole season off. So congratulations to the closeted gay kids for hazing somebody for no apparent reason. I just don't understand hazing, especially these days. I mean, I've read so many horrible stories about like them sticking random weird objects in other dudes' buttholes and like doing random weird things with their dicks. And I'm just like, this is so gay and so fucking weird, and I don't understand why you need to do this. I don't understand how this makes you a better player or more of a team when you haze. And so now New Mexico State will not be playing basketball at all this season due to some idiots, absolute idiocy. And then also with this same exact team, earlier in the season, they actually had one of their players suspended because he was accused of shooting and murdering somebody. So New Mexico State men's basketball team apparently has some issues, not just in the hazing department, but in the character department, apparently. So there will be no basketball for New Mexico State. But as I said, with this hazing thing, it's grown more and more violent and more weird over the years, and I just don't understand it. I know I don't understand it because I'm just not a group thinker. I don't believe in in joining groups and people telling me what to do. That shit doesn't fly with me, but I'm not the type of person who would ever do that to somebody. I don't understand how sticking a pool stick in somebody's butthole and then breaking it off, which is an actual story from many years ago. I want to say that's from like 10 years ago. I think it was in Tennessee, if I seem to recall. Now, I've read actually a couple stories like that. But yes, there was one where they literally stuck a pool cue in a kid's butthole and broke it off. Why you need to do that? How is that team building? I don't get it. But I know that's a great uplifting note to end the show on, but I just felt like I had to touch on it. One, just because it's very shocking that an entire season is gone now for a basketball team. They had to suspend the whole season for that. But I also just wanted to think about how, or just throw it out there, how not only weird it is and how super fucking gay it is. Because if you are a dude who hazes a dude and is like tickling his butthole and his balls, that's super gay. Like, there's no way around it that's super fucking gay. So that's how we're ending the show, on that beautiful note of pool cues being broken off in buttholes. I know, I get it, but that's what these college students do these days, butt chuggers and all that kind of shit. They're very obsessed with buttholes, apparently, so I guess that's why they're all a bunch of assholes. But on that note, enjoy the very light week of sports. As I said, I will be gone on a very long weekend on a nice little vacation in Palm Springs, California, smoking a whole lot of weed and just enjoying my time. So I will talk to you guys when I get back on Friday, February 24th, and enjoy the light, very light week of sports. Peace out, fools.